Our sermon text this morning is from the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. Luke 10, 38 to 42. Now hear the word of the Lord. Now it happened as they went that Jesus entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her." The word of the Lord. Let us pray. O God, deliver us from the deceitful and unjust men. You are the God of our strength. Do not cast us off. Do not let us mourn because of the enemy. Send out your light and your truth. Lead us by them. And then bring us back to your holy hill and your dwelling place. You are our exceeding joy. We will praise you. Do not cast us down, for we hope in you and will praise you. You are the help of our countenance and our God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Boys and girls, you may count this morning how many times I say Jesus and how many times I say priority. Priority or priorities. And I'll give you a count after the service. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, this morning we begin a new sermon series. And this new series will be how to live out our faith. And we will cover how do we carry out spiritual disciplines in our lives. How do we carry out the tasks the Lord has called us to fulfill. As the year 2020 begins on the calendar, it's a good opportunity to review our past practices and look forward to potential beneficial changes. Some people call these New Year's resolutions. In this sermon series, we'll cover topics such as worship, evangelism, fellowship in the church, and Bible reading. And these topics are all necessary for the Christian faith. They are important because they impact our service to Jesus Christ and our service to His kingdom. These topics aren't part of some busy work that the Lord has given us to do until He comes back. They are individually and corporately essential to the Christian faith. Now, there are dangers. When we start talking about the practical of the faith, especially in the context of the preaching of the word in the Lord's service with his people. Because the preaching of the word is our hearing from the King. That's why we preach the Bible. Worship is about hearing from God. And we talked about practical steps for our faith. My advice or my opinion on how to do this versus that is not at the same level as hearing from the King. If I were to suggest a personal practice, it's not at the same urgency as thus saith the Lord. So the danger there in hearing about the practical. Also, we don't want our worship and specifically our sermons to turn into self-help advice. This is not your best life now Bible reading or your best life now prayer practice. But the Spirit-inspired preaching of the infallible Word of God is efficacious to the building up of disciples. It is beneficial to the edification of the body. The Word does not return void, so we tread faithfully and we tread carefully here. Practical faith is beneficial to the individual Christian. These areas that we will cover, all of them by the power of the Spirit, make us more like Jesus Christ when we carry them out faithfully. You as an individual are shaped and changed. You as an individual grow in holiness. And the Lord blesses you by His Spirit to prepare you to join His heavenly body. But in your personal, individual growth, this is beneficial to the body. The body is built up. The body is strengthened by your individual, personal growth. If one person commits to more love and more prayer, that benefits the church. The Spirit gives life, and the Spirit gives growth. And your individual, personal growth will bless others. By your individual growth, we will increase in love. We will be stronger for it. The individual growth of one blesses the body. The seed multiplies. And as we grow, the kingdom comes into greater fulfillment. The kingdom comes in greater fulfillment as disciples of Jesus Christ increase in obedience. Obedience to all that Jesus has commanded. Because the Spirit of God brings history forward. The Spirit of God brings the church into greater maturity. And as the knowledge of the Lord increases in this house and this community where the Lord has placed us, the Spirit brings growth from Jerusalem, from Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. Acts chapter 2. Verses 46, this is after Pentecost, the preaching of Peter. The church, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking of bread from house to house, the church ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Now the church corporate committed themselves to teaching, to prayer, to worship. And within that church were individuals carrying this out. And the faithfulness of those disciples led to growth, led to others coming to the faith, being saved. Similarly, in Acts chapter 6, after the church appointed deacons to help in the service of the widows, we hear Acts 6, verse 7. Then the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. Now, this isn't some fleshly or human-induced kingdom growth. This is the Spirit working through God's people, working through men, women, and children growing in the faith. And this is how we ought to view our sanctification, our seeking the Lord, our obedience to Him, our growing to be more like Jesus. Our discipleship, the practical steps we take in the faith, contribute to our growth individually, and the increase and spread of the kingdom of God. So when we hear these sermon topics, these are not simply good ideas that you want your life to go well, you should read your Bible more. This is how each Christian serves Jesus Christ every single day. And this is how we participate in the kingdom. Remember how the kingdom grows. Jesus' parable in Matthew 13. Another parable Jesus spoke to them. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal, till it was all leaven. Slow growth throughout. That leaven of the kingdom works through each one of you, and that works through our body. And it works until everything is leavened. So we continue to take faithful steps. We conduct periodic self-examination, like now, beginning of a new year. And as the knowledge of the Lord spreads through us, individually and corporately, it spreads throughout the world. Our sermon text in Luke chapter 10 details a scene with Jesus and with the sisters Mary and Martha. Now in this passage, Martha invited Jesus into her home, and welcoming him into her home, she demonstrated hospitality. And in her carrying out hospitality, she was distracted about many things, is what Jesus said. Now, if you've ever hosted an event at your house before, perhaps you have felt this pressure. You want things to go well. You are burdened with all these things that you need to take care of. Martha was weighed down. She was greatly troubled with much service in hosting Jesus of all people. But Martha had received Jesus in her home, and that was a significant act. Now, while she was busy and stressed, her sister Mary sat at Jesus' feet. Mary sat and heard his words. There was work to be done in hosting the Lord, and Martha was doing all of it. Mary was just sitting with Jesus. So Martha asked Jesus if it concerned him that Mary wasn't helping, that Mary was neglecting the necessary work of a hostess, that Mary wasn't helping Martha with what was likely women's work. She had assumed a different role in the house. Martha was burdened with serving. Martha was actually deaconing Jesus. Now, her service wasn't wrong, it wasn't bad. She was waiting tables at a meal with Jesus Christ, something members of our congregation do every week, tending to the table. It'll happen today. The trouble was that in Martha's faithful service, she was frustrated with Mary's choice. Martha viewed Mary's choice at the expense of her choice, at the expense of her service. Instead of sitting there spending time with Jesus, she could be helping me. Instead of hearing the word of the Lord, she could be waiting tables. So Martha brought her complaint to Jesus. And Jesus rebuked her. He delivered a hard but helpful word to her. A word that she needed to hear. A word that benefits us 2,000 years later. Jesus admonished her for her worry. Don't worry about what she's doing versus what you're doing. But this wasn't the extent of the worry. This wasn't the extent of the reproof. Martha was troubled for many things. So what can we learn here? First, do you have worries? Are you a worrier? Are you full of anxiety about this or about that? Many things in life. If you are, Jesus answered that. Let the reader understand. Jesus said, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. One thing is needed. One thing. What is that one thing? Mary has chosen that good part. Mary's choice reveals the answer to the question. Mary chose the solution to the problem of need. What did Mary choose? Boys and girls, what did Mary choose? Or whom did Mary choose? Mary chose Jesus. Mary chose the good portion. She sat at the feet of the Lord, and that choice was a better choice than Martha's choice. Mary's choice was to her ultimate need. Mary needed Jesus. All the other needs, all the other choices flow out of that most important choice. It's Jesus, then service. It's Jesus, then everything else. It's Jesus, then life. Jesus' response to Martha shows us a priority in choices. A priority is choices you make that are of greater order or greater importance than other choices. So doing the dishes, cleaning up the kitchen, putting the coffee on are all important tasks. They need to be done. Someone has to do them. But they are inferior in the hierarchy of choices. One choice is better. Jesus is better. Martha had invited Jesus to her house. She waited on him. Yet in the house, Jesus ended up serving Mary. Receiving Jesus isn't busyness of life. It's listening to him. And to Mary and Martha, and to other first century Christians, this would be a helpful and necessary lesson. Because the early church, the early disciples, the first century church, they will lose family. They will lose home. They will lose income. They'll be faced with the loss of life. And when confronted with the choice, will they place Jesus, will they place his kingdom as their highest priority? He taught this lesson repeatedly to his disciples. Back to Matthew 13, verses 44 to 46. Jesus taught, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. So Jesus taught, everything you have, everything you own, is secondary to the kingdom. And if you're confronted with losing everything for the sake of Christ, he is your greater priority. He is more valuable than all that stuff you own. Luke chapter 9, verses 59 to 62. Jesus said to another, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God." And another also said, "Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house." But Jesus said to him, "No one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." Jesus is saying, go serve the kingdom is more important, of higher value, higher importance, higher priority than your family. Luke 14, verses 25 to 33. Now great multitudes went with Jesus, and he turned and said to them, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation is not able to finish it, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king going to war against another king does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000. Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land nor for the dunghill, but men throw it out. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Hate everything you have. Hate your parents, your family. Jesus is your highest priority in life. Kingdom is first. Now, he's not saying, go treat your loved ones poorly for my sake. He's saying, in regard to hate, there is a priority of love. That what you might think, your family, your land, your possessions, what you might think is the highest priority in your life, no, in fact, is subservient to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's number one. Everything else is after him. And that would be important in the first century. When faced with death, faced with martyrdom, don't cling to those secondary things. Love and trust Jesus. Now, he also taught necessary priorities within the kingdom. Because this is more than if your parents ostracize you because of Jesus, choose him at the expense of your parents. It's more than that. This is the choices you make in service to the kingdom. Remember Mary and Martha? They both had Jesus in the house. The choices you make in service to the kingdom have greater value. Your choices have higher priority than other choices in the kingdom. Because Martha was showing hospitality. She was doing good and necessary work. But Mary made the better choice. Martha was not to look down on Mary for her choice. Martha was wrong. The dishes will be there. Maybe sweep up after Jesus leaves. But you're missing the point if you think the hospitality of Jesus is higher than Jesus himself. So, brothers and sisters, our lesson today, 2,000 years after this event, don't be so distracted, don't be so concerned about working and serving the kingdom that you neglect the most important part. Now, we all have different roles within the kingdom. Not everyone in the body is an eye doing seeing service. So we aren't to look down on one another as you have inferior service to you. That's not the point. That wasn't Martha's problem. Nor, brothers and sisters, is this a physical versus spiritual problem. Where Martha was cleaning up physical dishes and she was cleaning a physical kitchen while Mary was attending to the spiritual things. No. We just celebrated this at Christmas. Jesus had a physical body. He had physical feet. And Mary sat on a physical ground. And Jesus' words carried a physical sound waves that touched her physical eardrums. It was all physical. Physical service is good. The point I want us to take away from this is priority and choices. Jesus was in the house that day. Martha invited him into her house. And when he came in the house, Mary chose to sit at his feet. Martha chose to do the dishes. Mary made the better choice. We as disciples of Jesus Christ, we as servants of his kingdom, we have a finite amount of time, energy, and resources. And we have necessary roles and necessary tasks to fulfill in our lives and for our families. And in carrying out these tasks, we have to keep our focus on what's most important in our service. We are serving Jesus Christ and his kingdom. That's why he saved us. That's why we're here. Jesus keeps us here as church militant. He doesn't take us to church triumphant yet because we are still here to serve him. And while we complete the necessary tasks of life, we can't lose sight of the fact that we're doing this for Jesus. Everything we're doing is for Jesus. Our vocations, our parenting, our marriages, all part of kingdom service. And our fulfillment of these necessary tasks are not in question, is not in question. The question we ought to ask, how do we carry out these tasks in fulfillment to our kingdom responsibility? How do we carry these out for the kingdom? In our discipleship of our covenant children, are we discipling them for the kingdom? Kingdom service? Or are we discipling them for success in the world? To live happy lives? In our marriages, are we imaging Christ and the church in our marriage, or are we just trying to keep a peaceful home? Going along to get along. In our vocations and our jobs, do we see that task, our work, as building up the kingdom? And then outside of that, the other areas of our lives, how are we serving Jesus elsewhere? Our friendships, do we see them in a kingdom light? Our neighborhoods, where the Lord has blessed us with homes, he has placed us there. Do we view our neighborhoods for the kingdom? We need to keep our eye on the big E of the kingdom eye chart. Do we view everything through the lens of the kingdom? You know, we can spend a lot of time with unbelieving friends and unbelieving neighbors and relatives. Do we ever present the gospel to them? When we go to work, how do we serve Jesus at our places of employment? How do we image Christ in our work relationships? We don't want to get so caught up in the day-to-day life, so busy, that we forget the big picture of why we're still here. We don't want to get so tangled up with worldly concerns that we neglect the higher priorities. We are disciples of Jesus Christ. We are salt and light in this world. And the love of God and his gospel goes forth from the church through flesh and blood people. Physical people with physical bodies being remade after the image of Christ. That's you and me. The gospel just says we open the doors and just kind of floats around. If we want a Christian influence at work, it's us. It's our responsibility. If we want our neighborhoods evangelized for Jesus Christ, it's us. God has placed us there for that purpose. Our priority is the kingdom. Now, there's a danger in everything that I've just said. And now you're going to neglect the lesser priorities, the acts that need to be done. There's a danger that we're going to go have lunch and everyone's just going to sit at the table and nothing will get done in the kitchen. That's not the takeaway from this. The takeaway isn't go quit your jobs and just sit at home and read your Bibles all day. No. We have to be wise in our focus. Priorities. Everything needs to get done. Just how do we prioritize that? As we consider our service to Jesus with the big picture in mind, the Holy Spirit, through the Word, will reveal to us how we do that through practical steps. And those practical steps are going to look different for each of us as individuals, but individuals as part of the corporate body. How do we pray? How do we read our Bibles? How do we evangelize? These are kingdom priorities, but they're kingdom priorities for the greatest priority, which is Jesus. So don't quit your job. Let the reader understand. Don't neglect your homes. Don't lock yourself in your prayer closet and stay there all day. Set priorities and put into action our necessary service to Jesus Christ. With wisdom, how do we use our time? How do we use our energy? We have commitments to make. How do these commitments serve the kingdom? So, brothers and sisters, keep that focus through these sermons. Start to view your use of time. Start to view your opportunities with that priority. How can I more faithfully make decisions, better choices in knowing, in loving, and serving Jesus Christ? And if you're troubled with many things, many choices, choose the good part. Choose Jesus. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, whose Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, is the light of the world, grant that your people, illumined by your word and sacraments, may shine with the radiance of his glory, that he may be known, worshipped, and obeyed to the ends of the earth. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, with you and the Holy Spirit, lives and reigns one God, now and forever. Amen.